Skinny Fries.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how are you, man?
You know, I feel like I haven't talked to you in seconds. You got your tank top, you got your drink. I don't even have my hop water. Talking about Hoppy Refresher takes me back to one of the things that really inspired us to just do this in the first place, whether it's this show or 21 Pod. And really, today's the 16th of March that we're recording this. I have no idea when it's going to air. It's been just over 3 years since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And since I started my keto journey, fast forward 3 years, not surprising, we still talk about eating habits.
Yeah.
And so we're going to try this one more time. All right. So I need you.
Let's be real. We're going to do this 20 more times, but we're going to start with one more time.
We're going to start with one more time. So I need you, please, 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 to tell me and everybody who's listening, all five listeners, no pun intended, what's the skinny on diets?
Well, the skinny is you can't beat the laws of thermodynamics. That's the skinny. In the simplest form, no matter what diet we're going to look at or way we're going to look at approaching a diet, there's nothing you can do to beat the idea that the number of calories that you put in your body has to be less than the amount of calories that you use every day, or you will gain weight. If it's less, you're going to lose weight. If you reach homeostasis, you're going to sustain your weight. And that's the truth. Everything else after that is a bunch of malarkey mixed with some pseudoscience that comes up with diet strategy. So I want to just unpack a couple things real quick, because I think it's, you know, you and I have been on a few different diets, right? And I think it's fair to say that we tried a few different things.
I'm trying to count on both. I don't know if I have enough fingers on my two hands to count how many things we've tried.
And you know, there's this old adage about the best diet is the one that you can stick with. That's the answer.
That I would agree with wholeheartedly.
So we're going to start with keto, because that is where you and I started this journey, right? I think I started it 4 years ago. You started it 3 years ago. We both did it. We were really successful on it. Then we got fatigued. We both dropped off of it and said, don't worry, I'll never go back to my old habits. I'm just going to count calories. It'll be fine. And then 30 pounds later, both went, whoa, right? Fair?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's talk about, because I'm back on a ketogenic diet. You?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The 2 pounds of barbecue I just bought today would say yes.
Oh, nice. I want to talk about why each of these diets work. And there's two different premises in that thermogenic effect that we need to talk about. So the first one is the simple idea of calories in, calories out. A calorie is a kilojoule of energy. It's all it is. Calorie doesn't mean anything. It is just an amount of energy that is going into your body. And your job as a human being is to expend that energy. The challenge is our body is meant to keep us kind of even, right? So there's plenty of studies about folks that do really calorie restricted diets and how all of a sudden they lose, you know, they stop losing weight because their body starts to use less energy. They find themselves being more malaised and more, unwilling to do things that expend energy, right? What's interesting is there's a gentleman named Andrew Huberman. Do you know him? Do you listen to his podcast at all?
Absolutely.
Okay, I love him. There's two people I'm going to talk about today, Huberman and Lane Norton. So what I like about Huberman, he did this great podcast. He was talking about this study of people that bounce their leg. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Did you listen to this episode?
Yeah. I do that sometimes.
Okay. So it's amazing, right? There's these folks that you see and they're like, I can eat anything I want and I never gain weight. And those folks are living to the same rules you're following, but they have a difference than you. You, when you're sitting still, you sit still. Your body doesn't move. Your muscles don't move. You're just there. You may get up and do a 30-minute workout. Maybe that person does, or maybe they don't. But all day long, that guy's bouncing his leg up and down. And you wouldn't think that that little movement of a calf muscle could be the difference in an extra 600, 700, 800 calories of burn. But it is, fascinatingly. Like, our bodies have this really weird ability when we're intaking more calories to use them, to spend them. And as long as you're not eating in excess of that ability to use them, you're going to sustain weight. So the problem with that is it creates this dissonance in people's mind where they think, well, I ate salads for 2 weeks and then I ate steaks for 2 weeks and there was no difference. And what they're failing to understand is there was a difference, but it was on the output side, not the input side. The input side, of course, changed calorically, but the output side changed pretty dramatically too. And they probably don't remember it because they just look at their, you know, Apple Watch, or they look at their whatever, and they say, I did 30 minutes worth of working out. It's the same. Not realizing all those little movements inside of the day that were pretty different for someone. So we're starting with the law of thermodynamics, because ultimately, no matter what diet we're going to talk about, that has to be at the center of it. It doesn't matter if you eat keto, if you intermittent fast, it doesn't matter what you do. If you eat more calories than you're spending, you're going to gain weight. So can we like agree on that basic premise?
Yeah, absolutely. So is that why, like, if I eat a big meal, I tend to feel hotter temperature-wise? And on the flip side, if I've been fasting for a day, I tend to be colder. Is that just my body increasing or decreasing temperature to offset or store, like, account for the amount of calories that it has to work with?
Yes, but actually in reverse. Okay. So what's interesting is that effect that you're feeling is your body slowing down its burn. It needs to burn more, but it needs to send all that blood there. So you end up feeling warmer versus the other side where you actually have more variable blood and that makes you feel colder.
Okay.
But the second thing that we need to talk about is TFE, which is in the same space as the laws of thermodynamics, but it's the thermogenic effect of food. Do you know what that one is? Have you heard of that before?
Tell me more about it.
Okay. So real basic premise, it's that each kind of macronutrient has a different measure of how much energy it's needed to digest or absorb or metabolize that nutrient.
That's why, like, so, 1 gram of fat is more calories than 1 gram of protein or carbs, right?
So different. Okay. No. Sort of. But the idea is that your body needs more energy to process certain macronutrients. So, for example, fat, 0 to 3% increase in TEF in order to process. So meaning fat's really easily processed, right? It gets in, it's just kind of a straight one-to-one usage. Your body can get it, it can use it, the end. So when we're doing a ketogenic diet, we're eating a lot of fat because that's our energy source, right? And your body's kind of one-to-one on usage. Carbs require about a 5 to 10% increase in usage to process them. So when you eat a bunch of bread, your body has to work a little bit harder in order to process that. Where protein is 20 to 30%. So protein, what's really great for that and the simplest form of diet is eat more protein, is it's actually requires more of your body to process, meaning in order to get all the same caloric value to use, it actually is harder for your body to do. And that may seem like a bad thing, but it's actually a great thing because it takes your body longer to get it. So protein takes more energy, meaning it creates more heat, generates more heat in order to process, which, again, helps you lose weight. Yeah, exactly. You've been there before. So you and I have tried many different things, and it's funny because it no matter what we would argue about what we thought worked, let's go to the simplest time. Do you remember the period, the 45 days when you lost the most amount of weight?
Yeah.
The biggest like run that you were on. When was that?
It was probably my right in the middle, I would say, of my keto journey. So it was like past the ramp up point where my body's adjusted and kind of switched, gotten into ketosis and lived there. And I hit like a stride where everything was pretty much just systematic. Mm-hmm. My body was on full flow. There was nothing interfering with it. There was no cheating. There was not. It was just go. All systems go.
Right. So if you went back and you had all the data, right? Some people really like quantified self. They keep track of all this stuff. My guess is if you looked at that single point in that 45 days, you're going to find a couple things. You probably restricted the time that you were eating to a very small window, which people misunderstand the why there. Obviously, there's, and you and I have discussed this on previous podcasts, go back to 21 Pod, download the episodes, and you all can go through all of the understanding of the extra benefits of time-restricted feeding, because there are some, right? But putting all of those aside, there's the simple benefit of you have less time to consume things, which means you are not going to intake as many calories, most likely, right? You could still blow that, but if you're going to restrict your time pretty heavily, you're going to reduce the amount.
Right.
In that restricted time period, you were eating a very consistent and measurable deficit of food, right? So for you, that was probably somewhere between 1,500 to 1,700 calories a day. Is that right?
Exactly.
And then if you went back and checked your move exercise goals, I'm going to guess that those were the times where you were probably spinning those up once or twice a day fully, like going around, because you were moving more than you are right now when you're eating more calories. Fair?
Now I'm shaking my leg nonstop, but yes.
Yeah, the hard part is if you listen to that Huberman episode, you can't really make it happen. It either happens or it doesn't, which actually makes you hate life. And so the reason I bring that all up is because there are people that will argue that the only way to lose weight is time-restricted feeding. Then there's this whole group of people that'll say it's only calories in, calories out. And this other group of people that are like, keto, eat all your bacon, right? And the answer is, well, the second one wins always, but the first one and the third one enable the second one at times. And so part of you and I going back on keto has nothing to do with ketosis, the idea of using fat for energy, the kind of BS stuff that we were sold a little bit early on and fell for and even, I think, reiterated to people in our podcast about like you're burning fat more effectively because you're in ketosis. The reality of it is what you and I kind of both learned from a different lens is it's just easy for us to adhere to keto.
Right.
I don't snack when I'm on keto. I don't eat Cheez-Its when I'm on keto. I get all of my protein when I'm on keto because I don't mind eating protein and vegetables. And then when I'm done eating, I don't find the need to go add something else. I drink less. I don't snack because of the drinking less. And therefore, I'm able to time-restricted feed more, meaning I have a shorter eating window. So keto isn't a diet for me that's effective because of the nucleus of the macronutrients I'm eating or even the mix of those. It's just that it's a better adherence diet for me than anything else. And what's been interesting, and I'm really interested to see how this next kind of 6 months unfolds for you, because you tend to go with me when I do this journey pretty well. And I'm guessing that me not straying is going to motivate you to not stray.
It helps when we talk about it every day.
I think when we did this in 2020, we were, I need a better term than Nazi. If you could find me that. We were a bit assholes about the 20 grams thing, right? Like, we're going to have 20 grams of carbs.
Yeah.
And God forbid you ever had a strawberry that put you at 23 because it would knock you out of ketosis, right?
Yeah.
I've got to tell you, I've been doing it now for the last 2.5 weeks, and I'm under 29 grams of carbs a day because that's the number that the app I use, Carbon, which I'm going to get to in a second, guides me to. But I'm not really thinking about it much. Like, I'm just trying to eat a lot of protein. I'm trying to eat a lot of vegetables. I'm trying to get near or under my calorie goal every day. And it turns out when I get done, I typically have 120, 130 grams of protein, which is more than I was getting before on a calories in, calories out diet. I tend to have a little bit lower fat than I did before because I'm not living in hamburgers and bacon. And my carbs tend to be about 22 to 27. And if it was 32 tomorrow or 19 yesterday, I wouldn't care. Because it feels good and I don't feel weird. And it's interesting because I always thought that thing that you felt the next day was because you slipped out of ketosis. And I'm beginning to actually believe that it's because my protein intake was too low and I wasn't slipping out of ketosis. I was actually feeling, you know, that effect of not having enough energy, not having enough protein in my body.
Right.
And now that I've been focused more on the protein part of the story, it's funny. I don't ever feel that. Aside from like the other day, I felt a little dehydrated because of some, you know, I tried to do too many activities in one day.
Sure.
So anyway, all this is to point people to a couple of different resources. I mentioned Andrew Huberman. I always want to say Huberman, but it's Huberman. The other one I said is Lane Norton, and there's a website. So BioLane is his name on Twitter, his name on the internet. And the reason I want to point you to Lane Norton is he does this incredible job of reading every study on earth and saying, yeah, I read the study that says that Diet Coke is going to give you cancer. Let me tell you what was in the study, what you missed about the study. Here's how to read it better. He doesn't come at it with some agenda. He always argues, you know, facts are better than feelings. And he just tries to make it really easy for people to understand. What I really appreciate is he has a great food tracking app called Carbon that just got a major update to its design language. And it is probably the most simple and on-point food tracking app I've ever seen. And what he's trying to solve is one of the biggest problems in diet, which is that food labels can be off by, I think it's up to 10% or maybe it's up to 20%. It's like a pretty wide margin and still be out there. So all of his you know, items that are listed in there have been tested. So it won't just say this is what, you know, a piece of chicken is by the American, you know, chicken gods. Right. It's like, no. We've looked at it and this is the answer to that, which is pretty incredible. And lastly, I'm going to say this one last thing. If you're on this journey, you're trying to lose weight, you hear me, but you're like, you know, John, I don't agree with you because I've been counting all my calories and, you know, what am I supposed to do? I can't manage Chipotle or I can't manage whatever else because I can't find it. And this argument of, oh, it's 20% variability, so whatever would I do? If you just do the same thing all the time, it doesn't matter. Because if your burrito is 20% over its calorie intake and you notice that every week you eat that burrito, you actually stop losing weight, you just adjust. You lower your overall goal a little bit and you come back down to earth. Like, this is as simple as tracking works. And you have told me this more than anyone. When I win is when I track, and when I lose is when I don't. And that is what makes diet work, is the one that you can adhere to.